You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Dear listeners, this is Matthew Heimbach with another edition of The Daily Traditionalist, and you are now joining me with Heimbach on the road. I am had to go and get some things done this morning with endless government bureaucracy at the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, and I was not home in time, so thank you guys for joining me on the road. Now my way back from dealing with the endless government bureaucracy that makes the Soviet breadline look like a vacation. But there's, you know, I can't let that get me down of how much time was wasted by incompetent bureaucrats because Donald Trump. Yesterday was such a big news. Last night I watched it with comrades. We had a local party. We've got on the line my good friend and co-host, Sven Longshanks, to discuss this and a couple of different issues. So, Sven, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm okay, Matt. I'm okay. It's a beautiful day here in Britain. Beautiful sunny day. Thanks to the wonders of modern technology, we can hook up and produce this podcast. Yeah, it is just a wonderful day, really. And great news last night. I heard it just as I was going to bed that Trump had won. It's just fantastic to see. And watching the news today, all these crestfallen faces on the BBC, it's just really funny to see. And I've also noticed that there's been a bit of a change in the rhetoric that's been coming from the talking heads. They've the Americans that they've interviewed, instead of picking up on Trump talking about the wall and about not letting the Muslims in and making that out to be a bad thing, they're sort of changing tack now and saying that these are the reasons why people have supported him. So I think we're gradually starting to see a move around to that way of thinking, which is what Trump has been aiming for all along, to try and unite the Republican Party behind him. And I think hopefully this is what we're actually going to see now.
Well, it was a very funny situation. We had a dinner last night. One of our comrades loves to grill. So we went and we grilled out, because now, of course, Pascha and Lent is over. So it's time to celebrate, enjoy meat. It was a great time. But we paused TiVo. We were watching the CNN stream. So we paused it because we wanted to watch the full thing. And I start getting text messages from other comrades going, Cruz is going to drop out. Cruz is going to drop out. Cruz is going to drop. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? And they're like, and I explained it to them, and they were like, fast forward. And I brought it back forward like 15 minutes. And then, you know, Cruz was giving a speech and, you know, it said Ted Cruz to drop out. And I did not see this coming. I mean, you know, I sometimes I get to call things and I call them pretty well, but I had absolutely no idea. I thought Ted Cruz, even though he was going to lose in Indiana, was going to battle on. He was going to have the strategy with the elites and deny Trump the nomination, things like that. But to see him throw in the towel and then elbow his wife in the face and all sorts of stuff was just a very humorous and kind of sad situation to see that. you just feel that he felt he was going to go so much farther. But, you know, Sven, I kind of want to know your thoughts, because I'm really interested as to the elites wanted to stop Donald Trump at all costs. And I mean, what do you think happened here that their only contender against him threw in the towel last night? I mean, do you think they just realized they can't stop it, and the best way to try and control the Trump phenomenon is to no longer be waging war with Donald Trump? Or what do you think is going on there on the ground?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're going to have to unite behind him. They really are. That's what I mean by I've seen this change in the rhetoric. It was funny to see Cruz backing down like that, especially after he's only just announced his vice presidential running mate. I thought that was really funny for him to be doing that when he was, you know, losing by such large numbers, and he had no chance of winning at all, but they were still backing him. The BBC was still going there to interview him, going to where he was likely to be, knowing full well that he was going to lose to Trump. And they had all their reporters there ready to interview Cruz, and it's just Trump that keeps winning. And Cruz would be there giving his victory speech, having lost. All of that has been very entertaining to see. But I do think that now that they haven't got anyone that they can back, they got no choice but to back Donald Trump. And just to think, I've got some numbers here that they spoke about today. They said that 65% more people have actually been voting in the Republican primaries, voting for Trump. So he's actually bringing out lots of new people that are voting, and he's reinvigorated the Republican Party. I mean, 65% more people coming out to vote. People are joining the Republican Party because they want to support Donald Trump. So either they're going to get behind him, or they're going to be on the losing side, I think. And people don't want Hillary Clinton. All these people that have been supporting Bernie. I mean, Bernie won last night as well, and he hasn't really got a chance. So I can't see the Bernie supporters transferring to supporting Hillary Clinton. I can see them transferring to supporting Donald Trump. And I'm really looking forward to now that the way is clear for Donald to take on Hillary. I think we're really going to see some dirt being dug up on Hillary Clinton, and all these dodgy schemes she's been involved with, all these murders and killings that have happened around her. Things like Gaddafi, when she was just gloating over this horrific death of this sovereign leader of state, democratically elected leader of state, that she was behind his assassination. I think you're going to be seeing this Bill Clinton and that Monica Lewinsky affair. That's going to be brought up, possibly her being a dyke. I believe there's a book which lists, over 100 people, 200 or so people that have mysteriously died around Hillary Clinton that she took a dislike to. I mean, there's a lot of dirt that can be dug up on her, and I think that Donald is the man to do it.
Well, and, you know, something to consider when it comes to the elections is, for instance, in 2008, when John McCain was running against Barack Obama, you know, it came out that Barack Obama was an active participant for many years with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church, who were almost black supremacists in many cases and hated America and all these sorts of things. And the Republicans stood down. If you actually read David Axelrod's book about the 2008 election, who you know, was one of the guys running the campaign for President Obama, he talks about in one chapter how they waited with bated breath for the Republicans to start shooting back. And it never happened. There never came a point. They didn't wait to see the whites of their eyes and then open fire. They just put their guns down and went home. And that's been the Republican strategy for many decades. And you bring up a really great point about with Hillary Clinton and all of her dirt. Ted Cruz or Jeb Bush would not go after Hillary like Donald Trump will. They won't go there. They think they're better than that. They think that losing with dignity is better than winning and actually being able to help your constituents and help the people you care about. So Donald Trump is cut from a different cloth, and the fact that he does not care about a single sacred cow. I mean, he mentioned America First last night in his victory speech. I mean, he's rolling on. It doesn't matter what the ADL or the Jews say to him. He just keeps rolling on. And I really think that he will fight this election with Hillary Clinton in an absolutely brutal way, scorched earth, total war style. And that's a good thing. I mean, that's what politicians are supposed to do. If you actually care about making change, if you actually care about people, if you actually care about all this stuff, then you do fight. I mean, that's what politics is about. So, and the other good thing is that Bernie won last night in Indiana, which is good because it also shows that the Democrats here in the Hoosier state are not beholden to the establishment and are kind of independent thinkers. But more importantly, the fact that it is actually breaking apart the Democratic establishment and is going to delay Hillary Clinton from transferring entirely into November mode. She's got to have to keep fighting Bernie Sanders on the ground. This Bernie Sanders insurgency is going to keep up and snipe at her heels, which is going to make her less effective as a candidate going into the general election. Now that the Republicans can coalesce around Donald Trump, this is a really great advantage for Trump to have a few weeks or months to really pull things together and be the only one running for the general election, while Hillary is forced, due to Bernie Sanders, to pivot to the left more than she wants to get the progressive wing of the party to get these states that Bernie Sanders would otherwise win if she doesn't pivot. And that puts her in a very awkward situation when it comes to the general election, when she's going to try and pivot back towards the center. Well, Donald Trump has just staked his position, and hopefully we'll just continue with that. So things are heating up in American politics, and it's really going to be interesting to see how the Democrats handle the fact that they've got a divided party and how the Republicans, especially with the neoconservatives and the Israel firsters, how they're going to handle now having only one likely nominee for the Republican nomination. It's really going to be an interesting next couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been good to see, because there is actually that chance there in America that you can get somebody to that position that Donald Trump is going to be in, that position of power if he does get to be the president. I mean, what we've seen over here in Europe, what we tend to see is if you get a nationalist party or a nationalist contender, then you have these other groups that will team up to go against him, and they'll agree not to stand in certain areas and tell their supporters to vote for the other guy. This is what we saw in France.
Just like happened with Front National in France in the most recent election, where the conservatives and the socialists teamed up with one another against, Le Pen. And that just goes to show there's no difference between the establishment right and the establishment left. I don't know what does.
Well, yeah, luckily, you don't have that in America. You haven't got the chance of this other party coming up and then the other two can team up against them. But what you have got is you've got a chance for an outsider to be the president and to be the guy right at the very top. It's always been looked upon as, possibly not something that's actually good about the democracy. But for us, this has worked out, incredible, really. But to think that, for years we've been thinking, is there going to be another nationalist party that could rise to the fore in America? How could there be another third party? It's too late in the game to form a third party and get the support needed to get them to that important placing where they could actually start running things. But instead of that, it's like Donald Trump has managed to swerve all of that. And, he could be the president of America and the president of the Republican Party. And if the Republicans really know what's good for them, they will start supporting him, because he has got massive support from the people. And the BBC are still trying to say that he hasn't got this support from the people. But he clearly has, because everyone keeps voting for him and turning out in huge numbers to show their support for him. And I do think
he has no ceiling. And that's what they've said on the media for months now, is that he's got a ceiling of 35% of support, or 40%, or 43%, or 45%, or 50%, or 55%, and he just keeps crushing these elections. That there is no limit to the amount of support he has within the white working class and many sections of the white middle class. These votes, especially within the Republican Party, is made up of two factions: the elites and warmongers. Evangelicals, I guess, would be a third, but then blue collar white working class people. And the white working class people are in full revolt against the establishment, which is an absolutely great thing. And then there's just not enough, rich bourgeois warmongers and Wall Street execs to outweigh literally tens of millions of white working class voters. It's an absolutely beautiful situation of a people's uprising. And now, we really have to see if Donald Trump either gets co-opted or if they just kill him. I mean, there's always a possibility that he could be removed from the equation. They've done it plenty of times in Latin America, in Africa, and other places to remove heads of state or troublesome nationalist leaders. But I guess we'll have to see what happens with Donald Trump. I hope he lives a long and pleasant life with him and his family. But the system truly is an evil one, so you never know what games they're going to try and pull.
Well, you really hope that he has a really good security team around him that are making certain that he's safe, because that would be the worry, is that something like that could happen. And with the support for him, I mean, they've been saying that, the women don't like him, but the women appear to love him. This is such a slap in the face for the media, who have been putting it across there that we're all feminists and we're all homosexual loving and we just love being replaced by non-whites and we really want to have our countries full of Muslims. And this is what you would think if you watched the television, because that's what's put across. This is the way we all think. And this is really the car is basically said, well, no, we don't actually think like that. No, we don't want to be replaced. No, we don't want Islam in our countries. And anyone that stands up and says that, we are going to support him. And this has been so helpful for us in Europe as well. It's like we've been given permission slips to say, well, we don't want this immigration. We don't want Islam. The presidential candidate is saying this. This, how can you say it's not politically correct or it's racist? I mean, this is mainstream. This is what the presidential candidate is saying. So we can say it. I mean, we're just waiting now for the people in the east of Europe to start saying, well, we need to deport the ones that are already here. Because we're now saying we don't want any more immigration. And the next step is for a mainstream politician to say we need to deport the ones that are already here. And then all the rest can follow. You see, this is the way that it works. You get a big mainstream politician like Donald Trump will say something, and then that's it. It's broken. Everyone can say it. We feel free to say it now. He's made it that we feel free to be politically incorrect, whereas before people were worried to say certain things. They were worried to say exactly how they felt. And we're seeing uprisings all over Europe, people revolting against their politicians and what's going on. And I don't know if you saw in Germany on May Day, they had their big leftist rally, as all the Marxists do. And the justice minister, Heiko Maas, turned up at this leftist rally, and the whole crowd were chanting, "Traitor, traitor, get out, get out." And they chased him to his car. This is at a leftist rally, and there were no shouts of Nazis or white supremacists, racists, anything like that at the people that were shouting this. And they literally chased him to this armored vehicle of his. This is the dislike that these traitors have made for themselves. And we'd like to see it going further than just chasing him to his car. But I think that gives a good example of how people are feeling about our politicians, about these people that are supposed to be representing our interests, but are actually representing the interests of the bankers, and it appears to be the third world. And why they would be representing Africans and Middle Easterners instead of actually representing their own European kith and kin, I don't know. It must have just been bought off, I suppose. Bought off or half Jewish.
And you hit a really interesting point in regards to when someone has really kind of broken the taboo, then it opens up political space. It really opens up that vacuum. Because there's actually a candidate who's running for, I think it's Congress in Kentucky, who I just saw his ad where it was literally free Mexicans trying to cut through the border, the little chain link border fence we have now. And talking about how they're scared of Donald Trump and how they're also scared of this candidate because he's going to help Donald Trump build the wall. I mean, there's a growing movement even within the Republican Party of people identifying as Donald Trump Republicans. I mean, the type of protectionist, Buchanan-esque, sort of nationalist, populist sort of movement is really growing, and people are latching onto this in huge numbers, absolutely huge numbers. I mean, I've seen so much enthusiasm for Donald Trump campaign. And, the great thing is also for the Traditionalist Worker Party, is one of our big goals is to be able to actually do overlays of areas where Donald Trump had the most support, and then be able to try and work and organize in those communities, because those are great indicators of socially conservative, white working class people that are fed up with the establishment, that are fed up with free trade, that are fed up with endless wars, and are ready and receptive for our message. So I appreciate Donald Trump going through all the trouble of doing basically a census for places where we need to be able to focus our party activities. So, that's always a great thing. But, moving forward, the Donald Trump phenomenon has opened up so much political space. And that's what it's about for nationalists. We're denied oxygen when it comes to politics, because the media will ignore us or just mock us, and then normal people don't hear our perspective. The fact that Donald Trump is introducing issues like sovereignty and borders, and ending free trade and globalism, outright calling out globalism in his speeches, that's just a huge indicator that the times they are changing, and the winds of change really are starting to blow. And it opens up space for us to say, look, people, this is the mainstream now. Let's go a little bit further. It offers us the ability to push things to the right a little bit. And that's an absolutely great thing. And, Donald Trump is destroying decades of the establishment. I mean, I'm surprised there wasn't a mass suicide in the Cruz offices and in the National Review offices, who, of course, just a month and a half ago wrote an article about how white communities deserve to die. But, they're always leading the Never Trump movement, and now it's got to be changed to Never Clinton. Rince Priebus, the head of the Republican Party, tweeted out that Trump is the presumptive nominee, hashtag Never Clinton. So even the establishment, these ultimate cucks, are being forced to reckon with the fact that there's a new game in town, and that the white working class has been awakened and mobilized in a way we haven't seen since the George Wallace campaign. And this might actually be better than the George Wallace campaign, because, of course, Wallace had to run as a third party, but Trump is now running as one of the establishment party's candidates with the same coalition that Wallace had. So we'll see what the conservatives do, but if they rally behind him along with these newly invigorated white working class voters, then there's no way Clinton doesn't get stomped in the election.
Well, I think people want somebody with integrity, somebody that actually stands for something. And we've seen it over here in Britain. We've seen it with Jeremy Corbyn that's been voted into the leader of the Labour Party. He's extreme left. Now, I don't agree with his politics, but at least he stands for something. At least he believes in what he's doing. And you contrast him to somebody like David Cameron, who doesn't really stand for anything at all. And he just does what he's told to do by the banks. He doesn't rail against anything. He doesn't really support anything apart from Israel. That's about the only thing you could nail him down on what he supports is Israel. At least Jeremy Corbyn stands up and shouts and, you know, he believes in something. And that's why the people voted him in. And if you contrast Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton, I mean, what does Clinton really believe in? Where's her integrity? I mean, she changes from supporting one issue to supporting another, you know, just like that. She changes overnight. Whereas Donald Trump has always been a bit of a conservative, and he's kept up with everything that he said in this campaign. He's carried on with it. He hasn't apologized for anything that he said. And in fact, he's made those points that he's been called out upon his actual main points. This is the amazing thing. And when they've attacked him for saying he wants to build a wall or he wants to stop Muslims, instead of apologizing, he's made certain to repeat that at every rally. And those are the things that he says that gets the most cheers. So I think the fact that he believes in what he's doing, he has integrity, he's genuine in what he says, that's what it really appeals to people. I mean, we're going to have a referendum over here next month in June. We're having this referendum on pulling out of the EU, and everyone I speak to wants to pull out from the EU. And if that happens, then we're going to lose David Cameron, because he's been campaigning to stay in the EU. They've also been talking in the papers about losing Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, we're going to see a really big political upheavals this year, and hopefully they're going to go in our direction. I mean, pulling out of the EU, that's got to be done. If we don't do that, we've got 80 million Turks that are going to be flooding in to the continent. Oh. And, you know, people just don't want that. Nobody's been asked about this. Nobody's been asked if they want to be replaced by all these Turks. And if Britain pulls out, then you're going to see other countries saying, well, we want to have a referendum as well. We want to...
It'll start a chain reaction, you know, and that's where everything comes in. As soon as the opinion is voiced and people feel confident enough, it kind of reminds me, I was talking to a friend of mine that's a former Romanian soldier, and he talked to me about when Ceausescu, the communist dictator of Romania, was giving a speech, and there was just one guy in the crowd that started heckling him, and then another guy. And then another guy. And then the secret police were trying to go in and grab these people. But then it spread. And Ceausescu went from being the dictator of Romania, who'd been in power for absolutely decades, an absolute tyrant. No one thought he was going to leave office before he was dead. Within a few days, he and his wife were dead in the ditch behind the house of the people. And communism had been overthrown in Romania. It's absolutely insane that within the span of just, a week or so, a government that had existed for decades, an establishment that had existed for decades, that people thought would never crack, was gone, And that goes to show me the potential we have for things we think, these huge institutions, whether it's the United States as we understand it, or the European Union, the current establishment, parties, that it can all fall apart overnight, and we might be on the edge of that.
Well, yeah, the wind can change direction in any moment. If you look at what happened in Russia, in the USSR, I mean, that just suddenly fell apart. If you look at when the Berlin Wall came down, and these things just suddenly happened. I know we try to encourage them. We keep trying to encourage this turnaround in the politics in Europe and in America. But it wasn't our blogging, it wasn't our podcasts and our websites that caused this change in thinking. It was Donald Trump who just arrived out of the blue. So these things can happen. God moves in mysterious ways. And if the world is going to change, the world is going to change. And the important thing is to keep your eye on what's going on so that you know where you can be most effective in what you're doing, which is obviously what the Traditionalist Worker Party are doing by capitalizing on the supporters of Trump, because you have the similar policies. You know that they're going to be interested in the policies that you have, Matt, because they're aimed at exactly the sort of people that go out there and support Donald Trump. And it's interesting that the Republican Party, I think for quite a while now, that they've sort of been happy just to be the opposition. They didn't really want to actually get into power. As you said earlier, when they had Obama, they never really put up a fight against him. Mitt Romney, they never really put up a fight to get Mitt Romney in. And now, I think by backing Cruz and not backing Donald Trump, it's as if they're saying, well, we don't really care. So long as we don't get Donald Trump in, we don't care if we don't get in. We'll even be happy to have Clinton get in. So it's been quite a surprise, I think, for the Republicans to realize that they've got a chance to get power. And I think we really are going to see a serious sea change now among those the people behind the Republican Party and the faces of the Republican Party, because there is now only one contender. And you can't really just look out at all those people that are supporting him and say, well no, we don't want that. Surely they want to be on the winning side.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, it opens up a situation where, you know, where I think our party is so important is Donald Trump at most can give us 8 years of Donald Trump presidency, and hopefully he does every one of his policies and really shifts things. But at the end of those 8 years, or, you know, 4 years, but hopefully 8 years, and he's a great president, I really hope he is, and he puts America first, he puts our interests first, he follows the laws, deports the illegals, builds the wall, and rebuilds the infrastructure and the manufacturing of our country. But even so, at the end of it, the party bosses of the Republican Party are still going to be Jews, are still going to be Wall Street bankers, are still going to be neocons. The worst that can happen is that to them is that Donald Trump can severely wound them, but he can't kill them, because they're the ones that control all the levers of power and money within the party. So we need to be able to build an apparatus that in the long term can become a voice for the white working class, for pro-white interests. But, you know, as we're building, we're growing, but I hope Donald Trump is taking, you know, landing on the beach and taking the beachhead, and then we're the reinforcements that can become the, you know, the real power and voice of white America. But for now, Donald Trump is charging forward and taking the beach. So, you know, all credit to him, and, you know, also all credit to all the Hoosiers that turned out tonight. For those who don't know, that's what we refer to ourselves as in Indiana. I'm officially an adopted Hoosier because I wasn't born here, but, you know, the Hoosier state is a state that really embodies traditional America. It's very rural. It also has a lot of, you know, former industry, white, conservative, and people that are tired of the establishment, whether it's people on the left who picked Bernie Sanders last night, or people on the right, including many Democrats who voted for Donald Trump, that what we see here is the middle American is growing tired and weary of poverty and rising unemployment and drug abuse, and a corrupt establishment that sends their sons off to die, but then abandons them here at home and abandons our schools and our kids and everything else. So really, Indiana, I think, is a good needle to see where America is. And in this case, America is shifting in the proper direction away from the establishment. So I'm just happy to see where politics are going to come. And but I think things are really moving in our direction. So so Sven, as we're coming to the end of our show, what are some final thoughts as a takeaway? On also, well, actually, I want to know, do you think the referendum is going to pass for the British exit? And where do you think things are going here in the next few weeks?
Well, I think it is going to happen. I think we are going to vote to get out of Europe. Everyone I speak to says that. I heard a poll today which said that twice as many people were going to vote to leave the EU. So I can see that happening, and I can see David Cameron having to leave. And then I think it will either be Michael Gove or Boris Johnson that steps in. And obviously, I'd far rather it would be Michael Gove. I mean, Boris Johnson is part Turkish. And Michael Gove, he was working class, and he won a scholarship and went to grammar schools. He's done everything off his own back. So it would be good to see him getting a chance at leadership. So I think that might happen. But whatever happens, nationalism is just going to get bigger and bigger, and it's just going to rise. And with the more Donald Trump keeps breaking down the barriers to becoming president, the more emboldened we get in Europe, and the more support there is for our leaders to speak out in the same way that Donald Trump has. So it's just good all round, really. It's been a wonderful year so far, Matt. It's been really, really good. And all of it's come as a complete surprise, pretty much. It's nice to get pleasant surprises like that.
Yeah, that's the best type of surprise, the one that comes out of nowhere, you know. And I agree. I mean, as Bane would say from Batman, you know, the fire rises. And that's really what we're seeing. The fires of nationalism, the fires of identity, the fires of anger against this corrupt establishment are rising all around Europe, all around America, all around the entire world. So we just need to strap in, because the future is going to be definitely interesting, and I believe things are going to switch in our direction even more. So, I just wanted to say to everyone, thank you guys so much, and thank you for Sven, as always, for doing all the great work that he does and being my co-host. I could not do it without him, and I could also not do it without you, my dear listeners. So we're going to be back same time tomorrow, and I'll be actually at home, so I'll have all my proper equipment. So it should be an absolutely great show that Sven and I have planned. And Sven, I wanted to thank you again for being on with me today. And ladies and gentlemen, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. So thank you guys so much. And hail Emperor Trump and hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.